Hvala lepa, gospodu Lončareviču. Prav gotovo za zanimiv pogled in izkušnje Evropskega varuha človekovih pravic. Sedaj pa vabim k referatu gospoda Šendorja Felepa in sicer parlamentarnega ombudsmana za prihodnje generacije iz Madžarske. Naslov prispevka pa je razvoj pravne ureditve, sodelovanja javnosti na Madžarskem in vloga novega okoljskega ombudsmana. Pa mogoče bi nekaj še dodala, kot sem že prej povedala, imate možnost postaviti vprašanja, imate se možnost prijaviti tudi na razpravo v nadaljevanju, na koncu vsake sekcije bomo imeli za to tudi dovolj časa. Seveda pa bi vas opozorila, da je današnja konferenca namenjena odpiranju splošnih vprašanj, dilem, pogledov in ne reševanju nekih konkretnih pobud, primerov in pritožb, ker zato so druge poti in priložnosti, tako da bi prosila, da se tudi osredotočite na konkretna vprašanja, konkretne pobude. Hvala lepa, sedaj pa prosim.
Thank you. Dear colleagues, I would like to divide my contribution into three parts. First, I would like to talk about the developments of public participation in our countries, especially in Hungary, but I believe that this development shows some identical patterns in the region and in maybe in Europe in the last two decades. The second part, I would like to give you some information about this new kind of ombudsman office, ombudsman for future generations. How can we contribute to enhancing public participation? And finally, I hope I will have time, I would like to share with you some experiences about public participation and inform you that based on this almost 2 years long practical experience in Hungary, how do we see the Aarhus Convention and maybe the potentials of further developing of this really precious international piece of legislation. So the first part, I think that in the last two decades, public participation in Hungary, and I say again, I'm convinced, I'm pretty much convinced that in the neighboring countries, similarly, public participation had two regulation, had two, and practice had two stages. The first, what I would call age of blessing, you know, after the change of regime, every one of us was enthusiastic and we could develop quite democratic legislation, transparent and accountable practice. And the second, which started at the end of the 90s and still ongoing, is what I would call, if you forgive me, the end of honeymoon between the governments and the public. The first chapter in that book in Hungary started with an excellent general, not environmental, but general constitutional legislation, the Act in 92, the Act on the access to public matters, and this was a kind of legal revolution after the quite secretive socialist era, because this Act promulgated that any data had to qualify as public data, which is handled by public authorities and doesn't represent a personal data. So everything is public which is not personal. This is really a kind of revolution. And other rules were very simple and participation friendly. You know, public authorities had to and still have to respond the request for data within 15 days, and even if the response from the authority happens to be negative, it should happen within 8 days to make legal remedies easier. and more effective. And the cost should not exceed the cost of copying and delivery of the information. And the list of exemptions was aimed to be an exhaustive list. You know, we all use CD legal collections. In the early 90s, if I printed in, not early, mid-90s, if I printed in the searcher function, you know, the CD legal collection, the word secret asterisk, you know, to make all the compounds, we just had 200-300 of laws containing this word. If we repeat this exercise, I do repeat it in almost every year, more than 1,500 findings we can end up. So it's an interesting development, and this act on access to public data was modified quite frequently, and all the modification was a little worse than the previous one. The other, from the Golden Age, the other law what I should mention is the Environmental Code from 1995, which contained a separate chapter on public participation and declared that environmental NGOs have standing in all environmental cases on their territory of activities. You can imagine what kind of a shock was this kind of regulation for a bureaucrat like I was. The administrative bodies argued against all the elements of this provision in the Environmental Code. They said, okay, but not all kinds of NGOs, only associations can have standing. And only if they are exclusively environmental or environment NGOs, so not like cultural heritage NGOs and others. And also, what is environmental case? You know, we ended up in a very narrow interpretation of environmental case in that respect. Environmental authorities and other authorities could accept public NGOs, civic organizations with standing only in EIA, environmental impact assessment cases. This long debate ended up in a legal unity or uniformity decision of the Supreme Court in 2004. Yes, this is the end of the Golden Age, and we can see this in the content of this Supreme Court decision. Like in the fairy tale, you know, the young lady brought some present to the king and did not bring a present to the king. You know, that was a dove, I think, which flew away. So the Hungarian Supreme Court said that, listen, every case is environmental when environmental authorities take part in, which is quite a logic approach, very nice approach, very broad approach compared to the previous practice. But in the same time, the same uniformity decision stipulated that this standing refers only to the environmental part of the cases, which is environmental part and which not. So it reopened the floodgate for arguments again. Another last example from the Golden Age, which I would call, if you forgive me, the most shining jewel of the Golden Age of this legal practice. This is the famous, I don't know how famous, especially in Hungary and in some academic circles, it's famous. The decision number 28 per 1994 of the Hungarian Constitutional Court, which introduced the non-retrogression principle into our environmental law, saying that where the government has more or less resources, finances, and other resources, can change the level of protection of certain human rights and constitutional rights, sometimes protect more, sometimes less, but cannot do that in respect to environmental rights, because if this fluctuation takes part in environmental matters, we can find ourselves that if we forget to protect certain areas and certain subject, after a couple of years when we gained more resources, we will find nothing there, so we cannot protect it anymore. And in the Golden Age, you know, Aarhus Convention came, and we could see very sadly in Hungary that the Hungarian legislator said that, hey, we have nothing to harmonize. We have everything in place, which was not true, because Aarhus Convention is a system where all the pillars and capacity building and principles reinforce each other mutually, and the system works quite effectively. And the even in the Golden Age, the Hungarian rules of public participation were scattered and sometimes contradicting, and that diminished their efficiency. The second stage, I think the most outstanding legislation in the declining public participation regulation, declining stage was the so-called Highway Code. The full name is the Act on Public Interest and Development of the Expressway Network in the Republic of Hungary. So this act, as they say, the road to hell is paved with benign will. So this just wanted to simplify and expedite the environmental permitting procedures in this very important, God knows if it's so important, matters. And a Hungarian NGO, Clean Air Action, turned to our nice, beloved Compliance Committee. And the Compliance Committee very aptly, very wisely summarized the weak parts. The committee said that omitting the scoping phase diminished the level of public participation, because one stage less where public can express its opinion. Second, insufficient and non-extendable time of 90 days is not enough for the public to formulate its opinion, because public should discuss with amongst each other and with their experts, and it was overlooked. And third, it is against the right to legal remedies that the route of the highway is decided not by an authority, but by a legislative act of the minister, with a ministerial decree. As we say, the law cannot be unlawful, so legal remedies is quite difficult against a minister's decree. And the last point from Compliance Committee was concerning the Highway Act of Hungary, that it is quite problematic that this act restricts the environmental authorities to take part in the following stages of the permitting procedures. So once EIA had taken, no more say to the environmental authorities. Why it is important, especially in Hungary, because of the Supreme Court decision, what I mentioned already, that public participation is connected to the participation of the environmental authority. So, as we say, it was two flies with one hit from the industrial lobby groups. And another example of this unfriendly handling of public participation was the amendment in 2008, the Administrative Procedures Code, which said that the earlier text said that everyone has standing who has a legal interest in the matter on the desk of the administrative body. The amendment wanted to say that everyone has a standing who has a significant interest. Who can tell us that which interest is significant, which interest is almost as significant as reaching the level of standing? No one. At that stage, fortunately, our office was in place. We just started our operation, and we could argue against that successfully. We were not successful in the second issue in the administrative code, that because the previous text gave standing to everyone who lived on the scope of activity on the affected geographical area. And the new the amendment made it an exception rather than a general rule we could not defend. We could defend the third one, which is a very interesting, and that's my last example here, all NGOs can only have right to appeal if they took part in the whole first instance procedure. At the first glance, it's quite logic, you know. So if they are interested, then they can have like right to remedy. But if they think with an NGO viewpoint, you know, with an NGO approach, no NGO has resources to take part in thousands of first instance decisions just for the sake of having the possibility to appeal in one. So we could eliminate this. And methodologically, and I'm coming to my third part, methodologically, it was interesting. I mean, as an ombudsman can act. We try to establish a nice wide network. So we went to a lot of citizens organizations and called their attention, hey, this is important for us. We went to the environmental committee of the parliament. We went to this governmental body, the environmental National Environmental Council, and we also went to the chairperson, the spokesperson of the parliament, who was at that time very environmentally committed person, and also the president of Hungary. And all there, all of them supported this issue. That we could eliminate these amendments of the administrative code. Some other examples where our office could prevent decreasing the level of environmental democracy, that was the Forestry Act, for instance, and an act on local environmental permitting where small-scale industrial activities are permitted, and then the amendment wanted to exclude the neighbors because that was so subjective. If it disturbs the neighbors, then it's a problem for the new entrepreneur. The legislator wanted to delete this quite questionable provisions, and we could at least half prevent these. So, finally, if I have, I think I have like 5 minutes, I would like to shortly summarize how our experiences in this last 2 years with handling complaints, 300-400 complaints we received, and with the other historical ombudsman function, the parliamentary advocacy function, how could we respond to the expectations of the environmental groups to be really the ombudsman of the future generations. So we started some proactive programs as well, like three programs. One is about environmental information, another about climate, naturally, and the third one is about, and that's what I want to build up a little bit on, is a program on the course of sustainable local communities. So I would like to offer some thought, and I beg pardon from the translators. This is not in the written materials I issued to them. Some thoughts about the new developments in public participation and the possible further developments in the Aarhus Convention. Because Aarhus Convention is special in the world of international environmental law. It is like an organism. It is self-developing, you know. And I just want to raise some possible ways for this self-developing. Two issues what I experienced that very important in solving our environmental problems. One is local solutions. So central government is not able anymore to solve all the crises we face, you know, financial resources crisis and ecological crisis. So we need local solutions. And the other, we closely linked to this, we need networking solutions. No organization, no state body can solve these problems alone, just in a network. So, Aarhus Convention, according to these experiences, can develop, and these are just really weird, wild ideas, local self-governments, public participation in connection with municipalities, I think could be a good new territory for the Aarhus Convention because the importance of the local solutions. And direct participation, when the members of the local communities and NGOs do not want anymore to take part in a procedure started by an authority, but they want to solve the local problems on their own. I think this new trait should be supported by the Aarhus Convention and public participation rules. And the networking solution, I think Aarhus Convention Article 6, which has a passive side right now, similarly to the information, active Article 4 and Article 5, active and passive part. Article 6 should have an active part as well in the mirror of our experiences, because it would help to networking. You know, if the authority would be obliged to actively search for, reach out for support in the most important environmental decision-making procedures, this networking procedure could be reinforced. And also, this would help, and again, an important topic in the possible further developments of the Aarhus Convention, the responsible participation, when public participation is not only a set of rights, it's a big responsibility as well, and this side should be reinforced as well. So my final sentence is that I strongly believe that these three-level crises, what I mentioned and we live deeply in, cannot be solved otherwise just with the help of the widest network of our societies, and Aarhus Convention and public participation are quite instrumental in that respect. Thank you for the opportunity.